Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. American Glutton is brought to you by Trifecta. Benjamin Franklin said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And he couldn't be more right. One of the biggest issues I've had in dieting over the past decades has been I didn't do enough diligent meal prep. I didn't have what I needed to hand when I needed it. As soon as I got that straightened out, it all went better. And I gotta tell you, the biggest boon to meal prep I've had has been Trifecta. They have what I need, when I need it, ready to go. It's here, it's in my fridge. I don't have to think about anything. I know when to eat, I know the amount. Boom, done, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Trifecta has literally changed my life. Go to TrifectaNutrition.com/AmericanGlutton where new customers can save up to 40%. Again, that's TrifectaNutrition.com/AmericanGlutton. Paige Dorian Productions, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Thank you, Ethan, and thank you for having me. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year, dude.
Happy New Year. We are here.
We're here and we're ready for action. We're making resolutions. Stuff is great.
So, yeah, I mean, theoretically, we've all made a resolution by now and it is time to put words into action.
It's time to implement that resolution. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was really nice. It was different this year. I had just kind of less. I usually do a lot of big social things, lots of family, lots of friends, but for a few different reasons, just had smaller gatherings. And in fact, sometimes just my husband and I, which was a little different, but it was nice. Yeah, it was really good. And actually, I feel like, you know, Christmas being on the weekend and New Year's being on the weekend sort of, I never felt super off in terms of schedule and having a hard time, you know, getting going again. It's kind of nice when we're back in the beginning of the week, you know?
Did you do that thing that I always do, which is decide in like late November what your resolution is going to be and then make it compoundedly more work than you would have had you started in November?
I'm sad to say I did a version of that.
Yeah.
Isn't and I should know so better. Fucked? It is. It's like, it, you know, I've tried to remember what you have said so many times before about, you know, just being specific. And having true plans, like it isn't enough to just go, well, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in the next year. You know, I'm being general about what that is, right? But it's like, oh, I'm going to lose weight this year. Like you have to, you know, be specific. And that's what I'm hoping you'll share today. But it's like, I tried to do that, you know, I didn't get specifics. And now here I am like, okay, I got to, you know, make progress on my goals, which aren't necessarily that exact thing, you know, but so what about you?
It wasn't that bad. You know, there were a couple instances where, Brandy had a work party at our house and, you know, it wasn't like a sit down meal, but she did the entire table, which we have a very large dining room table, is covered from every square inch of it is covered with something tasty, fancy breads and meats and cheeses and, nothing really high protein, low fat and low carbs, you know, like my one request to all my kids and my wife who went to the grocery store multiple times in the 3 days leading up to this party was, can somebody get me some zero fat Greek yogurt? And so I just assumed that there was zero fat Greek yogurt in the refrigerator. And I did really well at this party. You know, I had a piece of the jalapeno fresh sourdough bread, which was fantastic. And then I was like, that's what I'm having. That's it. I'm not going to graze at this table for the next 5 hours. And people came and didn't eat nearly enough of this food. So there was so much still there, or we just provided far too much of a cornucopia of abundance. Right. And so then the people leave and I'm starving at this point. And I'm thinking, you know, when you get your mind set on something, you're like, the thing that solves this kind of hunger is my Greek yogurt. If I have one or two of those, I'm going to be great. And I went and nobody had gotten this Greek yogurt. And so like, I'm not, you know, it's one of those stupid things where you're like, I told every single person, four different people went to the grocery store. I told all of them. And everybody said, yeah, I'll get that. Right. But that's not, I didn't check to make sure. I just assumed it was there. There's usually, that's usually in there. It wasn't in there. And then my willpower evaporated in that moment. And I decided, you know, and my smart brain was like, do work. Work will get you not feeling hungry. And what's the work? Clean up this food. And part of cleaning up was tasting everything. You know, like, does this need to be saved or is this to be thrown away? Well, I should check. And if I'll make that determination after I check. And the way to check is to put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Is this fresh? Is this
right? Will this last? How's this going to taste tomorrow for one of the four children I'm going to force this on, or my son-in-law or my granddaughter who's not really eating stuff like that yet? But, you know, she could still have a carrot stick that she gnaws and sucks on. So maybe I'll save those for her, but I didn't test the carrot sticks. Those just got saved.
Yeah. Because that's not fun to test.
No.
Yeah. I would say my version of that was, you know, how, you get, you know, there's like gift baskets that people send of snacks, cookies, candy, things like that. And I had not been in my office. I've been traveling a bunch in December. So I went in the few days leading up to Christmas. I stopped in to check mail, drop a few things off, et cetera. And I had a giant basket waiting of, like, you know, it's crackers and weird cheese that doesn't have to be refrigerated and like that kind of stuff. I had another box of like every See's candy known to man and, you know, just this, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, I actually cannot. I mean, I definitely dipped into it as soon as I got to the office, but then I was like, I cannot bring this home. I can't have this because I will eat it. It doesn't matter if I, you know that I'm starting to get tightened up after crisp. It's that was my version, was like, well, I should try this strange cheese spread.
Is there something also that, do you experience some guilt? Like, this person bought me this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I can't throw food away. It's rude to not try it.
That's right.
I I don't have that with booze. Like, people bring booze. People brought booze to this party. And there are booze. There's booze here anyways. And it's not, it's just not something that it's so cut and dry that that's not on the table. There's no tasting mm-hmm. that. Right? Right. For me. And so when people bring it, I'm never like, I'm sorry. Or there's no part of me that's like, well, I have to sniff this wine or do whatever people do with wine, right? Decant it and like gargle it, however people, that's just not on the table. But yet with food, like a guy baked a loaf of bread and mm-hmm. while he was here, he was showing me like, this is fresh baked. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really eating that. And then he left and I was like, I should eat that because it's polite. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I didn't do it while he was here. It's so weird.
I know. Well, it's a, listen, for me anyway, and I know I've heard people say this, it's like the, you know, the reason we'll come up with reasons to do the thing yeah. we want to do. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's very concerning. My Aunt Candy bakes cookies every year for my entire life and sends a big tin of cookies. And there have definitely been years where I've been like, these are utterly off limits. And then this year, I really started to feel guilt, like I'm dishonoring Aunt Candy by not eating these cookies, right? And after last night, or not last night, this was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't know, whenever it was. After that, I really was like, I got to get my act together a little bit. So yeah. It wasn't so bad. My holiday was not so bad. There is a thing that I've talked to people about recently that I've also been thinking a lot about, which is the perception of effort being basically just as hard, whether you are like, if your perception is that you're sticking to a diet, I guess it depends on how hard the diet is, right? Like if you're in a severe caloric deficit, like mm-hmm. you're eating 800 to 1,000 calories a day, and somehow, you know, somebody's sneaking sugar packets, flavorless sugar packets into your water, and you're actually getting 2,000 calories a day. I don't know. That would be an interesting experiment. But I do know that when I perceive that I'm dieting, but I'm tasting my kid's food and not counting it and not losing weight, so I'm tasting enough of it that it's stalling my weight loss, I've still mm-hmm. experienced the stress of dieting. And that sucks when you have been resisting doing something for a long time to no effect. Mm. It's just a brutal situation to be in. And I experienced that a little bit. Like I can pinpoint nights like, well, then that party happened and then I cleaned up and was eating half the shit I was putting away. And that was a disaster because I wound up having a meal. But the problem is I didn't like sit down and enjoy a meal, right? Because yeah. I was stopping myself every time I'd taste something and then I'd take a second bite and then I'd go, I can't have a third. And so there's this boundary built up of I'm stopping myself. And having to do that constantly builds up, and it's still like, well, now I haven't lost weight. I've blown today, and I still am experiencing what I would have experienced had I dieted. All of the crap of like restraint, whatever stress is built into restraint, I'm experiencing that too, and I failed. So right. That can be really, really tricky.
Yeah. And you were so in terms of effort, are you saying that, yeah, you put in all this effort to dieting and then to be loose, right? Like whether it's that one meal or that one standing up in the kitchen, putting stuff away and snacking enough that it equals a meal or whatever. Are you saying like, yeah, you put all that effort in and it was kind of for nothing?
Yeah.
Not to say for nothing, but.
Right. Like, and I can be a very on or off a program guy. And I understand what that is. And then I know that like now for me, maintenance is very much experiencing moderation. And so like I can get away with
tasting my kids' food and having a bite of something here or there. And the amount of effort is less, certainly, than if I consider that I'm dieting and trying to lose weight. It is a bit psychological, but like that kind of psychological mindset produces hormones in the body. Like you will produce stress hormones that will make you more hungry, right? And so then you're not even getting the reward of having eaten because you're still kind of hungry. Anyway, it's this big confounding thing where it really does lead me back to what I believe works for me, which is either on a program very strictly or not. Mm-hmm. And it took quite a few years for me to get into the, like, I'm maintaining my weight in a sane and rational way that doesn't feel like quite as much effort as doing a diet. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah, it does.
Do you miss bread? The first time I had bread taken away from me, I was a little kid, and I was an overweight kid, and my mom, one of the first things she did was remove and excise bread from my diet. This was terrifically upsetting. And then it caused me, as an adult, every time I started a diet, bread was the first thing to go. And it's the thing I miss the most. Do you miss bread? I miss bread. I miss sandwiches. I miss French toast. I miss toast. I miss bread. And I don't have to miss bread anymore because I discovered Hero Bread. Hero Bread is low calorie, low carbs, zero sugar, an excellent source of fiber, and 100% tasty. I can have sandwiches. I can have French toast. I can have avocado toast. I can have all the things that I have been missing for so long, and it doesn't mess with my diet at all. It's in fact an integral part of my diet now. You can eat bread. It's back. Bread is back, baby. For thousands of years, people have been turning to bread as a source of sustenance. And now it's considered some awful, terrible thing. Hero Bread has less than half the calories of regular bread. And they don't stop with big, fluffy, white, delicious, low-cal bread. They also have seeded breads and buns, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, tortillas. And it's all delicious. I make sandwiches. I make burritos. I have sausages. I have hamburgers on their buns. None of it is missing anything anymore. It's all just wonderful. I feel like a normal person when I eat Hero Bread. Be sure to check out the podcast description to use my link and use the special American Glutton listeners promo code for 10% off your first order with AG10 on hero.co. That's hero.co. You can also find Hero on Instagram at Hero, at H-E-R-O.
So in terms of effort, and here we are at this, you know, this place we find ourselves every year, this time that can be good. It can be like a real, I don't know. I just think it can be the start of something good, right? This first of the year or new year, we've made resolutions, now we're acting on them. You know, this time can be very, I don't know, can be inspiring. It can be filled with like energy and, you know, new enthusiasm for a weight loss plan, an exercise program, et cetera. And so just speaking to what you're saying with effort, what are, you know, what do you say then to people to like put in the proper amount of effort that it's going to take to like get that new plan off the ground or get back on the one that was working? Or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yes. And so what the only conclusion I've come to is that for me, if I'm doing something and the idea is anywhere away from just maintaining my weight, right? Because maintaining your weight, it kind of becomes quite a bit looser and not looser to the point where I'm eating McDonald's, but looser to the point where I can have a bite of a thing and it's not going to cause something awful. And if there is a rise overnight of weight on the scale, I can recognize that that's not fat, right? That's water, yeah. Right? Unless it's a consistent rise over time. And then I go like, oh, the wheels have somewhere come off. So for me, I think it's just diligence, right? It's not allowing foods that are going to send me down a path. It's not allowing bites. It's being very, very strict when I'm mm-hmm. trying to cut weight or lose fat or get lean. And it has to be, because otherwise I just wind up doing maintenance, but with the perception of having put the effort into a diet, which is so disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like I want to see, we all want to see results. Like, you had Dr. Nadolski on, who's one of our most frequent guests on American Glutton. I love that. Every time he's on, he always has such valuable information. I think it's a couple weeks ago now, and you guys were talking about, the concept of trying to lose weight quickly at first versus slowly, and slow and steady wins the race, et cetera. And if anyone wants to hear more about that, they can listen. But the point that he was talking about was that it just made me, it reminded me, like, when you see results right away, it's inspiring. It makes you want to keep going. And so, like, I've never been able in all this time to really get to the place where I can have the bite and just be loose. Like, I really do have to be strict, or I'm not at all, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I think diet breaks and maintenance periods were the only workaround to that I've come across. Because I was exactly that way for so many years. I was either on a diet, but a lot of the diets that's the other thing that I wanted to talk about, because of resolution, and it being the first of the year. I think I've had many years of waking up or arriving at January 1st and having everything ready to go for a crash diet. And so, to Dr. Nadolski's point, he sees some evidence that if people have a satisfactory result early on, that can give them the motivation over the long run. But my mindset has to be the long run, no mm-hmm. matter what. Even if I'm doing something that's a little bit less reasonable to begin with, that's a little bit faster, as long as I know that I'm going to get to a point fairly quickly that this is going to slow down and it's going to take a long time, right? You know, I guess it's yeah. different if you only want to lose 5 pounds, then it's like, you know, do I have to take 5 weeks to lose this 5 pounds, or can I lose this 5 pounds in 2 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, if mm-hmm. I work a little harder, if I double my efforts, maybe I get this off in 2 weeks and then I'm done. Okay, fine. But I think a lot of people who have had real monumental failures with dieting have also, like me, and the only reason I say this is because it was my experience, gone into something going, I'm going to lose 40 pounds and then I'll feel better, right? Yeah. And then maybe I'll lose another 40, but it would always be the same 40. Mm-hmm. I'd lose the 40, I'd gain the 40 back, I'd lose the 40, I'd gain the 40 back. And so then I have years of perceived effort with no result, right?
Yeah.
A lot of hard work and nothing to show for it. And so that's why I think I have to be very strict. And if I'm going to do something a little bit more extreme, I'm going to do it with the idea that I don't get to where I want to be doing this extreme thing. Because it would be like trying to sprint at a marathon. Mm. No human being can do that. You can't go as hard and as fast as you can for that long. That's why it's called a marathon. Like, there's something about it being so long and such like an arduous task that if you go flat out at 100%, you'll never get to the finish line.
Right.
You know, and then if every time you start, you go flat out at 100%, you might have to do every marathon, and you'll eventually just realize, like, well, I can't win at this, you know? And so, so for me, it's understanding the duration is greater than this immediate burst in the beginning, and like trying to be really honest about that, because I am able to convince myself of all manner of insane things, right? Like, because there was no Greek yogurt in my fridge, I'm then eating at the buffet, and there's plenty of other food in my fridge. And then there's, you know, there's lots of prepared stuff that I could have heated in 2 minutes, but instead I walked over, and in that moment, I was convinced that that was the right thing to do. Like, you know, even if after every bite, I was like, what are you doing? Stop it. I would forget that and have amnesia for the next bite. And so that's why I can't let the door open at all. I have to be diligent about understanding the scope of whatever task I'm after. And if I want to go hard in the beginning, I can't go so hard that it ruins the rest of the race.
Right. And so what if you took it back a step, because you have, I think you have a lot of things on autopilot, you know, meal prepping, and like, you're just so good at all those basic things, right? But if you talk about somebody who is looking at the first of the year, or has arrived here at the first of the year, like, okay, let's say they know I'm in this to win this, you know, somebody, as Randy Jackson used to say, but like, cool, I might want some quick results right now, but it is a marathon. And so I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that. But like, getting back to some of those prior steps, or like things that you have to kind of, you know, there's a certain amount of getting ready. It's literally down to making sure you have enough containers in your drawer sometimes to prep, you know, 2 days of food or whatever your thing's going to be. So like, when you get to that point where you're like, okay, here we are starting fresh January 1, like, what are some of the things either you do that have worked for you, or, you know, that you are aware work for others in that way?
I like making a plan, right? And that achieving adherence to that plan is my resolution, right? And so if I have some goal for the year, or something that I want to achieve, and I wish I did this with weight loss years ago, but it would be closer to looking at what I needed to do to lose weight and making a plan for that. And then the resolution would just be adherence to that plan. I would get rid of numbers or inches, because that's something that I can win at accomplishing on day one. Right. Mm. Like, if your plan is, you know, I want to go to the gym regularly, then on day one, you go to the gym on January, you know, that would be yesterday, Sunday. And but now it's Monday. Like, right. Like, this is often the case where, you know, if I forget what year, it might have been last year or the year before, when it was like January 1st was a Friday. The gym was empty on Saturday, which is unusual, right? It's supposed to be packed on January 1st. So I don't imagine, I didn't go to the gym yesterday because it was Sunday, but I just don't imagine it was packed, but it should be crowded today. It's Monday, right? And so we don't have 3 days to wait in the new year. Start going to the gym, and then you can be a winner at going to the gym. You know, you can achieve that immediately, and you can... It's just more positive than setting this goal for like, I got to get to X by the end of the month or something like that. You can, if you want to change your diet, if you don't want to eat, you know, processed foods or something, that shouldn't be so hard, you know? And I think that it's easy for me to say that that shouldn't be so hard. And it certainly would be harder for some people than others. But like, I think there's a path to that for everyone.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm just thinking, so if it was like, cool, we're going to start with these steps of gonna go to the gym, going to not eat processed food, going to eat you know, protein and vegetables, whatever the person's diet choice is or whatever. If you do those things regularly, consistently, is it that you can't really help but see a better outcome? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, look,
obviously, there's I don't know.
That's to everybody is going to have different versions of that. But if you have some idea of how you want to change your life and whatever the outcome is, right, from that change, that's in the future. You got a lot of work to do. So figure out what all the various different things are going to be that are going to go into achieving that work and make that the resolution. Make sticking to those things the resolution, because maybe you hit some bumps in the road and you can get right back to your resolution immediately. But I just find that having this very specific goal of like, I want to lose 20 pounds, that can be difficult. You know, if you start lifting weights and eating a high protein diet, maybe you don't need to lose 20 pounds. Maybe you only need to lose 15. And then, you know, I had this many times where I was told by a doctor, I went in to see a doctor when I was riding bicycles, and he looked at me, and he's a very good doctor and I like him a lot. And I don't want this to come off as negative because I still talk to him. Dr. Huizenga, Robert Huizenga, he was the doctor for The Biggest Loser. He's a very big, important sports medicine doctor in Los Angeles. And
if you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal, and I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting, so cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. 4 flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free.
It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
I didn't know where I was at. This was when I was riding bicycles obsessively, and I had like a resting heart rate of 35 beats a minute. But I went into his office. I was 247 pounds. And he looked at me and I was like, I want to get all the tests so I know how much body fat. This was the first DEXA scan I ever did. And he said, okay, we're going to figure that out. You got a lot of weight to lose. And I was like, oh, and that bummed me out, right? Because I didn't know what I had to lose, but he just looked at me and was like, you're 247. You got a lot of weight to lose. So I went and did the DEXA scan, went back to the weight, to the doctor's room, waited for him. He came with this and looked at the scan and was like, no, this is not right. You have to do it again. Went back and did it a second time, same result. And he was like, well, actually, I was wrong. You don't have to lose weight. You're great. You don't, you know, and he suggested at the time you could do some resistance training or doing a lot of cardio, but you have plenty of lean tissue, very low body fat percentage. I think at the time it was like 13% body fat. Maybe 14%. I don't know. And he said, you don't need to lose weight. And this, I went through so many perspective shifts while I was in there with him. I went from him saying, you got a lot of weight to lose, to being like, well, fuck you, man. Like in my head, you don't know shit. Watch this. To then when he said, you're done, you don't need to lose any more weight. I was like, no, that's not right. I for sure need to lose weight. I basically had this idea going in that he was going to tell me to get to 220. Mm. And I thought, that's what I thought. I was like, I think I should be 220. He's going to tell me to be 220. And then I'll know I'm right in wanting to be 220. When he said you got a lot of weight to lose, I was like, 27 pounds is not a lot of weight. So what are you talking about? You're wrong. And then when he said you have nothing to lose, I was like, well, you're wrong again, because you're not saying 220. I left there with this idea that I still need to be 220. I went down below 220. I didn't feel good. None of it, like, it's all just like a lot. Most of this stuff, I think, is in our heads, and getting away from that is really important to do.
Mm-hmm. And not always the easiest thing, don't you agree? Like, to get away from things we think about ourselves and our body and our, and do you think that a lot of it has to do with kind of a person's, I don't know, diet history or physical history? Like, if you're a person who's, maybe for much of your life, if you're a person who's struggled with weight or consistent exercise, or, you know, whatever it is, if it's been an ongoing problem that you haven't been able to 100% get a handle on, right, or make a long lasting change, don't you think that stuff just goes on in our minds more than the average person? Like, you saying like, oh, it's going to be 220, and then no, and then blah, blah, like these numbers and these like milestones in our mind, like they're so, I don't know, like, I don't want to say limiting, but they're just those things that are like these fixed ways of thinking about ourselves. It's hard to shake sometimes. Even if you do a diet and you feel great, or you started working out and you look different, whatever it is, you're like, oh, well, I never got back to 152. And that's where I was when I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I also think that it's very, very difficult to get away from that, especially when it's happening. I want to try and be aware that whatever my view of the world is drastically different from everybody else's view of the world. And I can only really know the world as I've experienced the world. But I can try to imagine how somebody else is experiencing the world, and try to imagine, had I experienced the world differently, what it would be like today and try to imagine if there's another point of view I could take about myself that would be more beneficial to my pursuits, right? Mm-hmm. And I also like sometimes trying to uncloud my pursuits, these ideas of what I want, because there's oftentimes where it's like I'm going to work to earn money. Is that really the only reason I'm going to work? Is there any part of my job that isn't strictly about that? And again, I'm an actor. So like I have a job that a lot of people want to have. It's a very, I think our union has the highest rate of unemployment, which just tells me that there's so many people that want to do this and so little available work. And so every time I'm working, there is part of me that's going like, I am lucky to be here. So even in just in that sense, I don't want to consider that it's purely a financial transaction, right? I am here to make X dollars and that's the reason that I'm here. And I'll put whatever effort into it that gets me to continue doing this. No, I want to strip it away. And so like with weight loss, it was very helpful to me to really examine my life and spot all the reasons that I wanted to lose weight. Like, what would losing weight facilitate? Is it going to take the pressure off of my knees, right? Because it wasn't every day that I was walking around wanting to lose weight so that my knees didn't hurt less. That was not a prevalent thought. But then when I broke it down into all of its component parts, that's a relatively valid part, right? Like my knees and feet hurt much more back then than they do now. And there's something about being that big and even to today having loose skin, when I stand up and the way my pants fit, they're relatively comfortable. When I sit down, they're not. This is just something that I have to live with because the way my body shifts, it kind of expands outwards when I sit down. And I don't know if normal size or average sized, who are no longer average, but right, because we're the majority of us are larger. What was average when I was a kid, if those normal sized people, I don't know if that's their experience, but I don't ever hear about them talking about it. Like, gosh, my pants become uncomfortable when I sit down. And so like that hasn't totally gone away, but it's so much less than it was. It used to be that like my belt was trying to suffocate my lower half when I would sit down and I would get these insanely dark red rings around my body, but it wouldn't happen if I stood all day because they fit differently. And I put them on standing. I don't put them on sitting down. If I put them on sitting down, they would just fall down when I stood up, right? Because my circumference was so much larger seated than it was standing. And even today, my circumference is larger seated than it is standing. And so like I've reduced that by a lot. It's a lot better. I don't get those nasty, welty red rings around my waist anymore, but I still will sit down in pants and be like, these are not super comfy while I'm sitting down. And so it's just like identifying all that little stuff where it's not just this abstract idea of life will be better when I lose weight. Why? Why will life be better? What is the minutia that will make life better for me when I lose weight? Because if it's just that like my mom wanted me to lose weight, that reason doesn't get me very far. You know, my dad wants me to lose weight. The doctor told me to lose weight. You know, God forbid I ever made it through a whole course of antibiotics. You know, by the time I'm not sick anymore, I'm tending to not, I forget to take them, right? Because it's like, yeah, when I'm dying and I've got a fever of 102 and I can't swallow, and I want to get better. So yes, I'm going to be diligent. Every 6 to 8 hours, I'm taking this antibiotic. 3 days later, when it's like, no, you got to finish these out for a week, I don't care anymore, you know? And that's my one bit of worry also with lose weight rapidly, because if the goal is just the number because your mom said, or you think some girl is going to like you more once you lose weight or something like this. Once you get into the groove and you start to have results, it was also my experience that it would be easier to go like, well, I'm flying along now. I can get less strict, right? Mm-hmm. And I've found for me, less strict has been disastrous.
Yeah. Me too. 1,000%. I so understand that. I really like this reminder of what things will be different in your life, in your daily experience, if you lose weight, if you're exercising, if you're reaching toward and trying to achieve a physical goal. Because there are so many things like that. Like, just for me, when I'm on the upside of my range, my jeans are tighter. And yes, I can zip them and I'm running around, I'm doing things, but then I go to sit down or it's the end of the day after wearing them all day. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, when I get home and all I want to do is put on sweats, I know something's wrong. Like, it's just wrong when my daily clothes are uncomfortable, you know? So, like, wow, that's an amazing reminder. I won't feel like that, you know, or just energy. Like, that's another one. It's like, I forget when I'm eating well and get exercising, like that feeling of, I don't know, just not being as tired during the day, getting more done during the day, wanting to, you know, just waking up feeling fresher. For me, when I eat sugar and stuff like that, I wake up with the biggest puffy bags under my eyes, like that you can't, they barely go away by the end of the day. And I know it's because I ate something that gives me that reaction, you know, whatever it is. So that's such a good reminder. All those like sub results, or, you know, I don't, not even sub, they're just parts of your daily existence that would be better.
Yeah.
Or more comfortable.
Exercise is a really bizarre one because I never really want to go to the gym. I always feel better after I go to the gym, and my sleep suffers if I don't go to the gym. And I am the embodiment of sloth. I am the embodiment of apathy. I was in Montana doing a movie and just recently, and I arrived, it was like 45 degrees. I had a t-shirt on. I was like killing it. I was like, this isn't so cold. And I went to sleep and woke up to 2 feet of snow and it was like 14 degrees. And I was just like, I'm not a snow person. I have flat feet. Like I read that flat feet people don't like to slip because we have balance issues, like whatever. I don't know if that's true, but it resonated with me. I don't like to slip and I have terrible balance and I don't like the snow. And like, I still have this fear, you know, when I was 550 pounds, the idea of falling down, I thought I could break something because it's a lot of weight falling on top of you and your bones. Mm-hmm. Right. And so now I'm scared to fall down a little bit. Like, I will be extra precautious so I don't slip and fall. Yeah. But every time I've fallen at this size, it's like kind of no big deal. And I still don't want to fall down. Anyway, I would go to the gym and then go back to my apartment in this Airbnb I was staying at. And I would not move. Because, you know, I arrived and at 45 degrees, I was like, I'm going to go to Yellowstone. I'm going to go on all these hikes. I'm going to be outside a lot. And I did nothing. And it would have been so easy for me to wake up on my days off and not leave the house and sit and watch TV all day. So I would always go to the gym. But I realized like my sleep started to suffer. So I started going to the gym twice because when I looked at my, you know, your phone tracks how much you move around. And I was just not moving. And so my body was less tired and, or whatever exercise. And I don't mean forced exercise, like at a gym, whatever the moving and the getting your body out there and doing stuff, it has an effect on my sleep. If I am inert, I don't sleep well because I think my body's like, dude, we've been resting all day. We don't need to sleep like that. And then the next day I feel like shit because I didn't sleep. And so I started just to get my movement back to what it is in my normal life, which has no snow in the forecast for at least a million years. I would have to go to the gym and do a second cardio session just so that my body was like, yeah, okay, this is the level that we're used to moving throughout a normal day. So exercise, that's one of them. Like, I would never have thought I'm going to the gym so that I sleep well, you know,
right.
But it's
right.
One of those like ancillary benefits for me. I don't know that that's going to be true for everyone, but you don't always know, you know, like I can rush to a plane now. That would have been unthinkable at 550 pounds. And I still don't want to do it, but it's okay if it happens every now and again. And being able to run through an airport to catch a plane is great. I didn't lose weight thinking one day I'll need to run to a plane. But when I did run to a plane to catch a plane, I was happy that I'd lost weight. You know, there's lots, but you can investigate your life and find out, like, I have this nagging feeling of wanting to lose weight. I think I should lose weight. Why? Let's get real specific. Why do you want to do that? What's going to improve? Okay, there's all your goals, right? Mm-hmm. Fuck the number and create a life and that will facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. God, I love that so, so much. It's true. And I think this time of year, you know, we're in this, I don't know how it is around the rest of the world, but in the United States, it is all about first of the year, lose weight, this plan, this diet thing, this workout plan, buy this DVD. Well, we don't have DVDs anymore. Buy this, whatever, you know, bike thing. It's just crazy. This time in the US, which, I mean, I get it. It is a problem and it's something that we always are addressing, but it's so focused on those things, lose pounds or go to the gym. So everything you're saying of these, like, I don't even want to call them, I guess, ancillary benefits or whatnot, but just these like changes in, yeah, just all these extra benefits. That's the words, just benefits of doing those consistent things.
Yeah. I think it becomes harder too, because I so didn't want to confront my weight. My weight for the longest time was something that I was keeping locked away in a part of my mind that I would just shut out. Right. And if somebody brought my attention to it, I would get bummed out, but I would try very quickly, whether through substances or distractions or whatever, to get my mind off it, is, and then not think about it as much as possible. Once you start really examining it and you start going like, what are all the pros and cons? For me, there were zero pros. And there's absolutely not one pro to being 550 pounds. For me, I'm not saying that my values have to be anybody else's values, and I'm not putting that value on anybody else. I'm saying for me, weighing that much had zero benefits. When you get down to like 350, I could start to make some arguments about work, but still the pros for being my weight now outweigh the pros of whatever playing a fat guy in a movie could get me. I played a fat guy in a movie. How many, you know, I don't have to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to get really specific with, if you have this idea, like, weight loss would be good. Okay, why? Because for me, for a long time, weight loss would be good. It's like, okay, I failed. I failed at that thing that could be good, right? Because I didn't really take the time to know why it's going to be good. I didn't list out all of the effects of goodness that it would have on me. When I started to do that, it became harder and harder for me to not succeed. Not succeeding had higher and higher stakes. When it was, you know, I'll live longer, I'll be able to take my wife to museums, I will fit in a airplane seat. I will be more comfortable. And then like be more comfortable is even generally specifically, how am I going to be more comfortable? Well, it won't be so hard to breathe. It won't be so hard to walk up a flight of stairs. My lower back won't hurt as much. My knees won't hurt as much, right? You can get super specific with however this is true for you, write it all down. And then that list of paper is going to haunt you, I think, or it haunted me more than just this idea of like losing 50 pounds would be a good idea. I'd probably be happier, right? I'd probably be happier, but then I'd probably be happier if I ate a Big Mac can beat. I'd probably be happier if I lost weight any day of the week, because they're both this thing of like, I'd probably be happier, right? It's not this very specific thing that I know to be true, that I've taken the time to investigate within this dark region of my mind that I've been blocking out for so long. And then I think those things and thinking about it in that way has been super helpful to me to like, I have a granddaughter now. And even like, even with my, I mean, she probably weighs 12 pounds or I actually have no idea what she weighs, but I will tell you this, from sitting on the floor, holding her and trying to maintain her in a neutral position while standing up, right? Not using a hand to help me up. It's shockingly hard. And and the whole time I'm going, I weighed hundreds of times more than her and still had to figure out how to get up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you, and do you think there is something to the physical action of writing, like of writing something down versus having this all in our mind, you know,
or I do
what? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. For me, I can bully out any position in my head and rationalize a counter argument to it. Once I write it down, it's now not in my head. It's somewhere else. It's objectively that idea, whether I decide later that it's right or wrong, it's objectively out in the world. I've taken that idea and placed it physically outside of myself. And now it's harder to beat that idea. That's the way I think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. There 100%, especially also, I don't know. I just think with prepping stuff, with making plans for your gym activity, with like, it's, I don't know, there is something concrete about it versus it being kind of nebulous anyway for me in my mind. Like, oh yeah, I guess I'll do that. But it's just something about writing it down that I find.
Yeah, I found that getting objective metrics on these things, like the energy content and food,
small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Was very, very valuable. And I wrote it all down for a long time until I discovered apps. You know, Lane Norton, who's also one of our favorite guests, has this app called Carbon, which is my favorite of the apps. And So, but I want to say that I'm glad that when I began to really track how much food I was consuming, that I did it freehand at first. But then once I've discovered his app, I'd been doing it for a while, and it makes it life so much easier, right? Because it's doing all the math for you and all of that. But I think there's that I have the tendency to be able to eyeball stuff in a way that benefits the stuff unfavorably, if that makes sense. Like eyeballing a tablespoon, even if it's light mayonnaise, eyeballing a tablespoon of light mayonnaise was very different than measuring it out. And so measuring it out has proven to me that it's a lot less, like, or olive oil. Brandy used to say, like, you put a quarter of a cup of olive oil in your salad. And I'd go, no way, that was a tablespoon. And she'd say, how many glugs did the bottle make while you were pouring that out? And I'd go, two or three, but like, and she'd go, you don't get a glug in a tablespoon. Or if you do, it's one glug, right? And I'd be like, no, that's bullshit. The minute I started measuring a tablespoon of olive oil, it's nothing. It's nothing. No, I could easily have a quarter cup or half a cup of olive oil. And I say that now and I feel nauseous because a half a cup of oil is a lot of oil. But like really taking that out of my head and putting it on paper or into an app is helpful to me because, you know, I can forget about that tablespoon of olive oil, right? And it's just somewhere lost in my head. And I'm not always on my own side in this. I can turn on myself. And so getting that data, whatever it is, out of my head into an app or onto paper, I think for myself has been very beneficial.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Okay, so let's end this episode with, give me one goal you have for next year that you're starting to be resolute about. And it doesn't even have to be physical if you don't want, but tell me something that you're aiming toward.
Well, let's just, that moment of total honesty. It's not physical at all. It's that I'm going to Toronto to work for some months, and I don't want to be as slothful and apathetic towards life as I was in Montana. Mm. I don't know how successful at that I'll be, but I'm trying to make a decision to, you know, outside of work, because sometimes I'll work, you know, 14-hour day. And if that's the case, that's fine. That day I don't have to do this. But on days that I find myself having a very short day or no work, that I want to walk outside for some period of time, you know, breathing fresh air and moving through space and time and getting some movement into my body. So I guess it is physical also, but it's just, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at your phone and you've moved like 300 steps, that's fucking depressing. That really depressed the shit out of me, right? And it's like, okay, it's 4 degrees outside, but you couldn't have moved around in this apartment. You couldn't have figured out some way of moving more than 300 steps when you were averaging 10,000 before in real life. You're now down to 300. That's awful, you know?
Right.
So that's my thing, is I want to, you know, and I'm a little bit like freaked out just about being, I don't like the snow and the cold, and I'm going to go be in the city for a long time that's really cold and snowy.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guarantee you with that as your goal, when you get there, you're going to scope out your neighborhood. You're going to scope out what's around you and figure out how you're going to move. You know what I mean? Like if it's that you're going to walk to get a coffee and you're going to take this walk at that time and so on and so forth. I don't know. You could wind up doing something in front of your TV too, if it's like super freezing out, but
no, I have listed out all the reasons I want this. And so it is going to be harder for me to be a slovenly, slothful, apathetic pile of garbage in my, you know, I don't even know where I'm staying there, hotel or apartment or whatever it is.
Yeah. To be determined. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, 2023, here we are and here we go. Right. Yeah.
I wish you all good luck in your pursuits, and that's it. Thank you. Thank you, Paige.
Thank you.
And now for the Q&A.
Today's question comes from Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Jim says, Ethan, have you used a CGM, continuous glucose monitor, in your weight journey? If so, can you tell me how you used it and if it helped you? Thank you for doing your podcast. It's very informative and motivating.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for the question. I am very familiar with CGMs because I have a daughter with type 1 diabetes. So, and this, when they kind of figured this out, which was during her lifetime, this was a game changer for her because, you know, to go from having to prick your fingertips, and she was doing it a lot as a little kid, we would test her, you know, I was kind of probably even overly testing her blood sugar when she was a kid, just because I was so scared. I wanted to keep it in the range as much as possible. And she would have just the most calloused fingertips. And it was really sad and awful. And so to have a continuous glucose monitor was really beneficial to her. I want to be very polite about this. You know, like, would it be interesting to see how my blood sugar reacted to the various foods that I ate? Sure, maybe. I'll tell you something that I found interesting with her was that she would get a spike of blood sugar when she drank whey protein. Shouldn't happen, but she did. She always got a spike of blood sugar when she drank whey protein. So would it be interesting to see if I got a spike of, if my blood sugar went up and then down from whey protein? Maybe. Does that change whether I'm having whey protein and water or not? No, not at all. It's not going to affect that one way or the other. If you have insulin resistant type 2 diabetes and I don't see the benefit in it at all, to be honest with you. There's so much. You can find some study that backs up just about anything. You can have the carnivore people showing you studies that just eating meat is helpful in a way. And you can have the diabetic doctor showing you that just eating carbs or having a mostly carb diet is beneficial. There is actually way more evidence in the scientific community to show that the people who are eating high carbs and vegetarian diets have better health markers than the other people. The thing that will get you the biggest bang for your buck as far as health goes is weight loss and how your body's blood sugar, unless you are diabetic and your blood sugar is swinging way out of control and you need supplemental insulin to get the sugar into the blood cells so that your body can use that energy, it doesn't matter. If you are consuming less energy than your body requires to function, you will lose weight, and that will give you a bigger bang for your buck. So eat Twinkies. Just don't eat so many that you get fat, right? Eat just shy of gaining weight, and you will actually be healthier by losing weight, even if you're eating that. Your blood sugar is going to look like shit. You're going to eat the Twinkie. It's going to spike, and then it's going to crash. But won't matter if you're only eating enough of them to not quite give you the energy you need, because you'll lose weight. And that's going to give you a bigger health benefit than eating foods that don't give you that spike. That's how I feel about that. So By the way, I think eating Twinkies is the dumbest idea ever, and you'd feel like garbage. And so I don't recommend that at all. But the point is, like, I think the best diet is moderation. So if there's a bunch of stuff you like, you can recognize that monosodium glutamate makes food taste better. And so by eating that stuff with that in it, you may have the urge to eat more of it because it's more delicious. And it, and there's also maybe some evidence that it masks the feeling of satiety. So you're eating Doritos, they have MSG in them, and they're delicious, and they've got these flavor enhancers in them. And where your bodies would normally start going like, we've had enough, it's not doing that, right? So maybe, so don't eat those. That's fine. I find that whole foods make me feel good, fill me up. And if I shave off a little bit of them, right? Not food, not macro categories like carbohydrates or fats. You must have some fats. But if I shave off just a little bit off the total, I don't feel so bad. It's not like one of these crash diets, and I'll lose weight. And that is what I think is the best thing to do. I think people who want to lose weight, getting on glucose monitors, it's snake oil. That's what I think.
Okay.
Thank you for your question, Jim.
If you have a question out there, anyone that you'd like Ethan to answer, you can send it to us at AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.